This Tuesday is a very important day in the life of our nation because we celebrate Independence Day, the day that we became a separate and independent nation from England, that we became independent, that we could establish our own laws, do the things that we felt necessary to make our nation great. And of course, God has made our nation great, and we need to be thankful for America indeed. We'll probably celebrate Independence Day in several different ways. Perhaps you'll go on a picnic. Perhaps you'll have a barbecue. Perhaps you'll go see a fireworks display or something. Maybe you'll travel somewhere to be with friends and relatives. But whatever day that whatever means that we celebrate, we ought to appreciate the fact that God has blessed us the way that He has indeed. Now, independence is something not only that we should appreciate for our country, but independence is something that we all value. We like to be independent, don't we? We like to do things for ourselves, and we don't like to depend upon other people. I personally just don't particularly like for people to wait on me. That's just a personal thing about me. You know, when I go into a restaurant, yes, but when I'm in somebody's home, I just feel just a little bit uncomfortable if I think that they're going to too much trouble for me. I'm just that sort of person. But I said all that about independence to say this, that we as Christians are not independent. Instead, we are dependent upon the Lord. Let's realize this, without Him, we can do nothing. We depend upon Him for the breath that we breathe, for our every heartbeat, and we depend upon Him for everything in life. So let's realize afresh and anew as we celebrate Independence Day that we as Christians must be dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His love and His power and His presence in our life. Our scripture for today is found in two portions of scripture. First of all, from the book of Proverbs and then from the book of Jeremiah. I think it's going to be on the overhead for you. Okay, there we go. Trust in the Lord, it says, with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. And then from Jeremiah, beginning with verse 7, says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who confides in Him. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters. He will never fail to bear fruit. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the privilege that we have of being in your house again. We're thankful for Jesus Christ, who loves us enough, who gave Himself for us that we might have salvation and eternal life. We pray, God, that you'd be with us as we're here to worship and to serve you. We thank you that you've already been present in our service, Lord, in the Sunday school hour. And as the worship team sang, as Lord, as we did other things, as we fellowshiped together, we felt your presence and your love. We pray that you'd help me as I shall speak, help these people as they shall listen, and may we listen for eternity. May afresh and anew realize our dependence upon you. Pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct us in all that we do, for we ask in the name of Christ and for His sake. Amen. Now, there are two things that are vital and very important in the life of every Christian. One is faith, and the other is trust. And the Bible speaks extensively of both things. It speaks about the importance of having faith and also in trusting God Himself. Now, of course, these words are similar. Matter of fact, they're so similar that some people use them interchangeably. And they do have some of the same meanings, but they're different in some ways as well. Now, faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. The Bible tells us that we must live by faith, that we're saved by faith, that we must walk by faith, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible asks the questions, when Christ returns to the earth, will He find faith here upon this earth? And I trust that He will indeed. We're told in the Scriptures that many people accomplish great feats by simply having faith in God, by having a very strong faith in God. talks about Abraham. It talks about Abel, who offered by faith, offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain that was more acceptable to God. It talks about Daniel having faith and David having faith and Joseph having faith and all of these. It says, through faith they conquered kingdoms, they gained what was promised, they shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the fury of flames, they escaped the edge of the sword, and whose weakness was turned into strength, and through faith they obtained a good report. So faith is very important. But let's remember that trust is important as well. Because trust is this. Trust is when we put our faith into practice. Now, faith is something that we cannot necessarily see. We cannot put our finger upon it. We don't know if a person has it or not just simply by looking at them. But trust is faith in action. It's something that we can see. We can see evidence of it in their life indeed. I think that the main difference between faith and trust can be seen in an illustration I once read. It was about what happened in a circus back in 1860 in London, England. Now, circuses today are not nearly as popular as they once were. They used to be a main attraction for people. It was a very exciting thing to do. I've seen a couple of circuses in my life, but that's about all. And we hear of circuses, but even recently, I think it was Barnum and Bailey, which was probably the most famous circus. They went bankrupt just recently and had to go out of business, and that was unfortunate for people who like circuses. But people were attracted to circuses because of the animals, because of the lions and the tigers and the elephants, and because of clowns and jugglers and things like this. But in this particular circus, back in 1860 in London, the most famous act there was the tightrope walker. And he would, just about 50 feet up in the air, he would walk from one side of the arena to the other just on a little rope. And that is a very brave person that would do that. A very well-balanced person, I guess you could say, as well. Anyway, he would thrill the crowd by walking back and forth on this tight rope, and sometimes he would stop and jump up and down, or he would, on one occasion, he would even stand on his head. I saw something on TV just the other day about the Walenda family, if you've ever heard of them. They were famous tightrope walkers and did it for several generations, and this was a female. And she went up in a helicopter over near Niagara Falls, and she was suspended beneath that helicopter, and she held on with just one hand sometimes, and then she would let go and go with the other hand. And then she did something that was very spectacular. She held on with her teeth for over a minute. Now, that's a brave person. But anyway, in this circus act, back in, I've gotten off of my point here, back in 1860, this tightrope walker, he put on his display, he did several things. But at the conclusion of the show, or just before he concluded, he asked for a volunteer from the audience. And what he wanted to do with this volunteer, he had a device much like we would think about as a wheelbarrow. It was kind of small, but a person could sit in it, had one wheel. And he asked for a volunteer, and he asked for one of the royal family's servants to get in that wheelbarrow, and he would push him from one side of that arena, 50 feet up in the air, to the other side of the arena. And the royal servant did what I would have done. He said, "No, I think I'll pass. I don't want to do that." And the man asking, the tightrope walker, said, "Don't you have any faith in me?" And he said, "Yes, I have faith in you, but I don't trust you. I don't trust you enough to put my life in your hands." We know a lot of people are like that about God. They say they have faith in God, and they do. They believe that God is all-powerful. They believe that God is all-present. They believe that God knows all things, that He can do anything. But they don't trust God enough to put their life in His hands. They don't turn everything over to Him. They don't turn their future over to Him. They don't sign a blank contract, so to speak, and say, "God, you fill in the conditions. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I put my life, I put my talents, I put my abilities, I put my finances, I put everything in your hands." I guess the way to describe trust is this: our total dependence upon God. We must trust in Him. We must depend upon Him. Now, Psalms 34 and 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," and that's the scripture that Ken read this morning. But it goes on to say this: "Blessed or happy is the man who trusts in the Lord, who takes refuge in Him." Now, our first point for today is simply this: it is foolish to trust in anything except God. It is foolish to trust in anything except God. Now, Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 says, "This is what the Lord says: Cursed is the one who puts his trust in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and from whose heart turns away from the Lord." And it goes on to say, this person will not be successful. It says, this person will be as a bush in the wastelands. They will be. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. So the greatest mistake that we can make, the most foolish thing that we can do, is to not trust in God, to place our faith, to place our confidence in something besides the Lord. But the world is full, unfortunately, of people who trust themselves, who are self-sufficient, who rely upon themselves, that think that I don't need anybody else, I can get by on my own, I can take care of myself, whatever problem I face, I can solve it alone. Well, certainly there are many problems that we'll never solve by ourselves. And some have this attitude: well, I'm an educated person, or I have talents, I have abilities, and I can just fend for myself. Or maybe other things that they rely upon: their job, their income, their savings account, and all of these things are good. It's nothing wrong with them. They make us feel much more secure, but every one of these things can fail us when we need them the very most. If you trust in people too much, have you ever had anybody to let you down? Anybody ever failed you? Have you ever failed anyone? I'm sure that I have in my life many times over. So we must place our faith, we must place our confidence in God, because He is the one and the only one that we really can trust indeed. And we must trust Him because He says that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us, and He will never fail us indeed. But the most foolish thing that we can do is to trust in something besides God. Point number two is this: we show great wisdom, though, when we do trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting in His power and His ability. Now, Jeremiah mentions some of the things that we should trust in God. He says this. First of all, he says that we can trust in God's promises. You know, when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find this: in all 66 books, probably, there's a promise that God makes, particularly to His children. Matter of fact, you read it over and over, and there are literally hundreds and even thousands of promises that God has made to us. If we'll love Him, if we'll surrender our lives to Him, if we'll place our trust and faith in Him, that He will take care of us, He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory, that He will never leave us, He'll never forsake us, He will save us from our sins, He will forgive us of our sins, He will keep us, He will be there for us in every situation of life. He promises us that He will be a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And again, we must rely upon people. It's good to have friends. And you know, a friend is someone that sticks by you through thick and thin. A friend is someone that's there when everybody else leaves the situation. But there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's the one that we must rely upon. That is Jesus Christ. And God has promised us that He will be our friend, that He will be there for us, and that He will bless us, that He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory. We ought to trust God because of all the promises He's made, and He's never broken a single one of them. Second of all, we can always trust God because He will protect us. You know, when Jesus was alive, when he was here on this earth and performing his public ministry, one of the first things that he had to face was the devil's temptation. And the devil quoted him a scripture. He said, he took him up to the high place of the pinnacle of the temple, the high place there, and he said, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you cast yourself down? Because it is written, and he was quoting scripture here, and it is in the Bible. He says, because he will give his angels charge of you, over you, lest you dash your foot against the stone, or lest you harm yourself in some way. And Jesus, of course, says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But Satan was right in this, that God does protect us. God's protection is all around us. We all have a guardian angel, the Bible indicates, to us. God loves us. He watches out for us. He cares for us. He overlooks everything that we do in life, and he's observant of it. You know, one of the things that we enjoy as a father and as a parent is to protect our children. You know, if we know that they're in harm's way, we try to warn them and so forth, and, you know, to stay away from this and stay away from that. Because we love them, we want to protect them. We tell them to do certain things. God is the very same way, but to a much greater degree, that he protects us from sin, that he protects us from temptation, that he's always there to lend a helping hand when we need him the most. Thirdly, we should trust in God because he provides for us our every need. The prophet Jeremiah again says this, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, you know, we will all face situations in life that we will need God's help and God's leadership. It will be too big for us. It will be too difficult for us. We're simply not strong enough. We're not wise enough. We do not know enough to face the situations that we face all by ourselves. But God has promised us that he would provide for our needs according to his riches and glory. And he said he would be there to supply whatever need that we might have. And he'll walk with us. He'll guide us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, he will be there with us to protect us and to help us in every situation of life. He anoints our head with oil, our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Now, Jesus talked about God's provision in Luke chapter 12, verse 22. He says this, why do you worry and why do you fret so much? And do we all worry sometimes? Yes, I do. Unfortunately so. But we shouldn't, because we got a God in heaven that we can trust. We got a God in heaven who loves us. We got a God in heaven who will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And Jesus said this, why do you worry? Why do you fret? He says, consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't labor, yet Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of those. And when we worry and when we fret, it's usually not so much about the spiritual things as it is the material things. Am I correct? You know, what am I going to get? And by the way, he's promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But we're fortunate enough that we live in an age of prosperity that all of our needs, our basic needs, are met. But the thing that we worry about most are those extras in life. I can't get by with just one car. I need two cars. Or I can't get by with just a 1,000 square foot house. I need a 2,000. And by the way, man, now two people, over 2,000 square feet. You know, but we think that we've got to have all these things. But God will provide for our needs if only we will trust in him, if only if we'll obey him. He will help us in every situation of life. Let's don't worry about it. He says, consider the birds of the air. They don't plant, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, but God feeds them. He said, you're much more worth much more than any bird or any flower. God, if God provides for those things, He will take care of you indeed. Next, we should not worry because, and we should trust God because He will always guide us. Psalms 37 and 23 says, this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And, you know, there's wonderful security in knowing this, that God will guide us in every situation of life where we need to go. As I said a moment ago, we don't know the steps that we should take always. We don't know the choices that we should make. You know, we face situations of life. We don't know what is out there ahead. We don't know what is going to take place. But God always does, and He will guide us into those paths and help us to make those choices if we'll only depend upon Him. And the psalmist goes on to say this. He talks about God's blessings. He says, he talks about a person here. He says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His own hand. You know, to walk with the Lord is a wonderful thing. And God will protect us. God will shield us. God will always be there for us. And when we do fall down, He is there to lend a helping hand to pick us up. God did not save you, and God did not give you His Son in your heart in order for you to fail, in order for you to go back into sin. God will always be there to help you out and to bless you in every situation of life. Then he says this from a personal, I think he's making a very personal statement here, and I can make the same statement. He says this. He said, I have been young, and now I'm old. And by the way, that's me, unfortunately. I've been young, and now I'm old. But I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, I'll tell you, in 44 years of ministry, especially our early years of ministry, when we went off to Wesley College, and I pastored my first church and so forth, we went through some dark days financially. I won't tell you we didn't. We did. We rolled pennies, we scrimped, we cut coupons, we prayed for the Lord's help, and God was always there, but were we riding in Cadillacs or anything like this? No, we weren't. Did we always know where the next good meal was coming from? No, we didn't. But let me tell you, God never failed me. God was always there. And my wife, I give her credit for this. She was always strong in our darkest moments financially. And when things, you know, looked their darkest, she would say, Kenny, we need to trust in the Lord. God is not going to fail us. And no, after 44 years, God hadn't failed me. God has been with me. And I praise His holy and wonderful name. You know, He says, trust in the Lord. Lean upon not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Number three, we should trust in the Lord because of several things. First of all, we should place our full trust and confidence in God because God is immutable. God does not change. And that does not mean that we have to, you know, God is against modern changes like modern ways of living and modern things, modern conveniences. It doesn't mean that we have to dress like the people in the days of the Bible or, you know, live like they lived or things like this. But more importantly, God does not change in His nature. God is a God of love. God is a God of compassion. God is a God of understanding. God loved us enough that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And if He loved us that much, He is going to provide for our needs according to His riches and glory. He is going to bless us in a very special way. So God's love doesn't change. He loves us, especially if we're His children. He is going to love us in a very special and unique way. And most of us are God's children here this morning. So let's learn to trust Him indeed. God doesn't change. His nature doesn't change. His power doesn't change. And, you know, we talk about the days of miracles. We talk about, you know, God coming down in a very special way back in the days of the Old Testament, and maybe in our earlier years of our own life, we have seen revivals, and we've seen God do great things, and we've seen God heal people and other things that God has done. God hasn't changed, but our faith and our trust in Him sometimes denies the power that we have within us, and therefore we do not experience His miracles as much as we need to indeed. God cannot ever break His promise or His word. God is always faithful. That's a wonderful thing to know. You know, people break their promises sometimes because they just simply don't try to live up to them, or maybe they promise you something in sincerity. They thought that they could do it, and then they couldn't. That is never true with God. God is always there, and what He promises to do, He always does indeed. God was very faithful in His promise to Abraham, and He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and out of your loins will come a great nation, will come many people indeed. Now, Abraham was already 75 years old when God promised him that. That was an old man. But he said, I promise you that this will be your inheritance. You will be a father of a great nation indeed. Now, time elapsed. Time went on. He became 80 and 90, and finally he became 100 before his son was born. It took God a long time, and God's timing is always right. I'm not ever questioning that, but God was faithful to carry out exactly what He said He would do. And the same is true with you and me. We need to trust God. Even if we do not get an answer to something immediately, it does not need to diminish our trust in God Himself. You know, God's promises and the things that God said that He would do, it goes back to the earliest days of the Bible. In Genesis 3 and 15, this was right after Adam and Eve had sinned. God made a promise right then that said this: I will provide you a way of salvation that you can have forgiveness of that sin, and that if you will trust in Me, it will be forgiven and you can still have a right relationship with Me. He said this, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That meant that Jesus Christ would ultimately come, and it was thousands of years later before God fulfilled that promise, but He was faithful indeed to fulfill that promise, and therefore we can have salvation because of exactly what Jesus Christ did indeed. So we have God's promises, we have God's power, we have the fact that God is immutable, He never changes, and therefore we can trust in Him. We can trust God always because He will hear and answer our prayers. His ears are open to our prayers. His eyes are upon us indeed. Scripture says this: call upon Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened in you. He that seeketh findeth. He that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. All these things, you know, we deprive ourselves sometimes of many blessings of God simply because we don't ask for them, or we don't ask with enough trust and faith that God will answer those things. The Bible tells us in the book of James, we have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss. We ask for selfish reasons, or we don't ask enough in faith. The Bible says, if one of your children asks you for a fish, would you give him a serpent? If you ask for bread, would you give him a stone? He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things and the blessings of life to those who ask Him? We delight in giving our children things. I delight in my children's life. I delight in my grandchildren's life. I delight in the things that I can give my children. But God delights in blessing us, and if we'll ask Him, we shall receive many things indeed. We need to trust God because He is more capable of handling our lives and managing our lives than we are. Do you realize that? God is much more capable of being in control and doing the right things for you than you are. Sometimes we take the attitude, well, it should be my decision. It should be the choices that I want to make because I know what's best for me. No, you don't. And no, I don't always know either. I thought some things in my life were the best things that I could have done and so forth, but those were not the best things when I really trusted and relied upon God. I don't know what the future holds. You don't know what the future holds, but God does, and therefore let's trust Him with it indeed. And then we can trust God because there's no situation that He cannot handle. There's no problem that He cannot solve, and He knows the solution to our problem even before we face it. You know, we think some things are virtually impossible. We think things are, this is so difficult. This problem is so great, we'll never solve it. Indeed, there's just no way out whatsoever. But in those situations that seem so impossible, they are very possible with God, indeed. So let's trust Him. Let's believe Him. Let's have confidence in Him. Number four, when we trust God, great things are going to happen. Our sins are forgiven. We become His children and His heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And our future is secure when we trust in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, a week before last, Jewel and I flew from Dallas to Atlanta. And I used to really enjoy flying. I still enjoy it, but not as much as I used to because of all the hassle they put you through, security lines and the weight and, the crowded planes, and you feel like a sardine in a can or something like this. But still, I enjoy flying. But anyway, when we took off from Dallas, it was the weather was pretty clear. It was pretty good. I was sitting by the window. Jewel was sitting next to me, and we're like first-timers many times. We look out the window all the time. Other people are sitting there reading the paper or looking at their computers or their phones, and we're staring out the window. So I guess they think, But anyway, we looked out the window, and you could see things. And one of the things that we enjoyed looking at Dallas from the air and all this, time after time. And one of the things Jewel always looks for when we're flying either way is the Mississippi River. She enjoys seeing that. And we saw the Mississippi River and all of its glory flowing along, meandering, saw that. But as we continued to fly east, the weather became worse because there were storms all along the eastern seaboard from Florida all the way up to New York. And by the time we got to Mississippi or through that area, maybe Louisiana, Mississippi, into Alabama, it became more and more cloudy. And I looked out the window. I was reading and doing other things too, but I looked out the window and I could not see anything. Just the white, just clouds, just fog, just right there at the window. Well, as I was looking there and I couldn't see, somebody came out of the cockpit or somebody opened the door to the cockpit and so forth, and I could just look right through the window of the cockpit. And by the way, the pilot was getting the same view that I was. There was nothing right there. It was just clouds and, just nothing, just white, just coming right at him at 500 miles an hour or whatever. We didn't alarm because we had our trust in the pilot. But anyway, as we finally, as the flight was nearing an end, I finally just put down that little shade. I didn't even want to look because there was nothing to look at, So, and Jewel asked me, she said, well, just raise it, so let's see what's happening out there. And I'd raise it up and there's just nothing but white, so I just shut it down. So anyway, we got close to Atlanta. We began to slow down and, I can sense, the plane slowing down and beginning to get in its glide path. But I thought to myself, now, here we are, 150 people, we're putting our lives in this pilot's hands. How is he going to see us to a safe and good landing? But I realized this, that our pilot was not going on vision by what he could see. He was trusting in something else. He was trusting in something beyond his abilities. He was trusting in his radar. He was trusting in his altitude. He was trusting in his speed. He was trusting in his plane's attitude. And he was trusting in the information, the data that he got from the ground, that he was on the right flight path on the instrument landing system, that he would glide us to a safe and happy landing. And by the way, we had a very smooth landing. But we were probably 1,000 feet or so before you could see anything. By the way, I raised the shade again, and it was still clouds. We were getting lower and lower. I couldn't see anything. I thought, there's got to be an airport down there somewhere. And there was an airport, and we landed okay, just very smooth and easy. We got to Atlanta. It was raining. It was cloudy, all these other things. But we had a safe and smooth landing because the pilot trusted in something besides his own abilities. And you know, I said all that to say this. We must trust God, because sometimes life is sort of like that. We're in a fog. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen. But we can always trust in God Himself. His love, His power, His promises, His presence. He is always there with us indeed. Let's look at our scripture again, and they're going to put on the overhead. Let's say this together. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we love You today. We thank You for all blessings. We know that You're a great and wonderful God. You love us with an unconditional love. We thank You, God, that You've blessed us so very much. We know that we can place our trust and our confidence in You, because You're never going to fail us. If we trust You, God, You're going to save us from our sins. If we trust You, God, You're going to forgive us of our failures. Your love never changes, God, and we can trust in it. Your love is like the prodigal father's love. Your love is like the love of the good shepherd who gave himself for his sheep. Your love sent Your Son to the cross to die for our sins. Your love, Lord, intercedes for us each and every day in heaven. And Lord, please our cases before the Father in heaven, and we thank You for that. Because of Your love, God, one of these days, this world as we know it is going to end. You're going to come back. But if we trust in You, if our faith and confidence is in You, God, we'll go with You in heaven to share with You and be blessed there eternally. Guide and direct us in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.